Perek Bay. Isha Shinisarmala Ishinisgarsha. Yay Mer Sula Nisasani. Why Mer Laiki Ella Amana Nisatucha? So we thought we're starting a new parak, it's going to be a new topic. Sounds like the same old topic, right? They're fighting again if she's at the time of marriage is a basula or not. There's the Marsha and Daf Yitzches who asks why this is a new parak. It's the same Rav Gamliel, Rav Yeshua, the same thing as the previous parak. And he says that the ikar of this parak is the Dine Edus, the Dinum of Aden, which we did not discuss in the previous parak. And we just get into it by starting from the Sarmalay Nisgarsha, but the ikar of our Mishnah is the part about Yesh Edim. That's going to be the focus of this parak, and indeed it will be. The main focus of the parak will be Kayacha Eden. But right now, we nevertheless have to begin with something that connects to the previous parak, and we have to try to understand the din. So what's the din? A woman, till now, the woman, they were arguing right when they got married. Here, they're already holding at the get, or the husband died. And now they're arguing about what type of ksuba she's entitled to. Is she entitled to a ksuba of 100 or a ksuba of 200? So it depends. If there are witnesses who remember the chasana, and they can say that at the wedding she went out bihinuma, she went out with her as a psula goes out. Bihinuma, the Gemara will explain what it means exactly. Rasha prua means, of course, her hair is uncovered. Suvata masani. So there are eidim that she went out that way, she gets 200. Also, they had a minig of chivu klayos, which we don't have today, and give out candy, whatever equivalent of candy to children. That's also a right. Now, what's the chiddush of this half of the Mishnah? First half of the Mishnah. What's the chiddush here? Mishnah tells us the chiddush.
They're not saying.
So it seems that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though there's only circumstantial evidence that she's a basula, we don't know if she was a basula. All it is that she's yotza b'hinuma. So that's a chiddush, that's enough of a proof to say that she's a basula. That's the only the chiddush of the Mishnah. Okay, or any other chiddush of the Mishnah? First half of the Mishnah. I guess you could also learn that the chiddush is that going out behinuma, Rosh HaPerua, is something we do only for besulis and not for bulis. It's also something the Mishnah is telling us that we may not have known. So it's telling us, right, the second thing I'm saying now is that that's such a big chiddush. Just telling you that the minhag HaMedina is that that's how people go out. The chiddush, the way you're saying, the chiddush is that even though there's only circumstantial evidence that she's a basula, because Rosh HaPerua, the hair was uncovered, it's not proof that she was a basula, that is considered good proof. Going to the chuppah. Walking down the aisle. They didn't have an aisle, and they just walked to the chuppah. So they walked to the chuppah, this is how they walked to the chuppah. Okay, there are these two inyanim that I'd like to discuss. The inyanim of the Rosh HaPerua and the inyan, the more lamdish inyan of believing the circumstantial evidence. Let's start with the easier one and go on to the second one. The first chiddush of our Mishnah, we'll see in a minute that this is a significant chiddush in our Mishnah, is that a woman who's getting married for the first time and entitled to her $200 ksuba, she walks to the chuppah with her hair uncovered. Rosh HaPerua with her hair uncovered. Whereas a woman who's going to her second time to the chuppah, she's either a grusha or an almana, who gets a ksuba of 100, that she goes with her hair covered. She goes with her hair covered. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Why is this a big chiddush? There's a shaila. What is the halacha regarding, we know married women are obligated to cover their hair, and that single girls are not obligated to cover their hair. What is the din of an almana or a grusha, a woman who was once married and is now divorced, or now a widow? Is she still obligated to cover her hair? She's not an Eishes Ish. She's not a married woman. Does such a woman have to cover her hair or not? What? By when? A talis. A male with a wife, so what? That's not a proof. It doesn't prove just because the man was a talis woman has to cover her hair. Right. From this Mishnah to Raya, which way? From this Mishnah to Raya, that she covers the hair. Because the Mishnah says that she went to the chuppah. On her way down to the chuppah, she was not yet Nesua. She went down to the chuppah. On the way down to the chuppah, she was an almana. So an almana doesn't, if an almana doesn't cover her hair, there's no Raya. Could be, Edis will say she went Rosh HaPeruah, but maybe she was an almana. And that's why she still should get 100. So the Dalam Rebava brings a Raya from this Mishnah, that a woman who's a widow, an almana or a grusha, is obligated to cover her hair. That's what seems to this Mishnah. Later on, that find days on Aleph, seventh parak, which some of you learned recently. There's one other Gemara that talks about the zinyan of a married woman having to cover her hair. But the Gemara there says, the Mishnah there talked about a woman who a male husband is allowed to divorce without a tshuva. And it mentions such a woman is a woman who is aveiret on das Yehuda. Zayver on Jewish practice, Sharesha Perua. She doesn't cover her hair. Woman doesn't cover her hair, the husband can give her a get without a tzuva. So the Gemara there says, Raisha Perua Dairaisahi. The woman, she should go with her hair uncovered. That's an Issa Dairaisa. Tiksiv, Uparas, Raisha Isha. It says by the Saita, Pashas Nasai, when a Saita, who's Mizana Takas Baiva, in the base of Yiddish, they would uncover a hair. Tavit very bishmael, asharol b'nais Yisrael, shalei yatsu purei reish. So the Gemara says that from the parsha of Saita, we uncover the hair of a Saita, as mashma tumah has to be covered. We learn that a married woman is obligated to cover a hair, and that's a tefi of Torah. The reish is l'chayiv covering, for a married woman to cover a hair, from the paras reish yisha, from this part. Yeah. What is that mashma? An almana? What should be the din of an almana, according to that? Paras Rosh Isha. She's not married. If we learn it from the parasha of a Saita, an almana can't be a Saita. Only an Eishes Ish could be a Saita. So if we learn if the source of covering your hair is the parasha of Saita, what? And then died, she's in a shaita. So this Gemara seems to say that an almana does not have to cover her hair. Because we learn from Paras Reisha Isha that there's an obligation to cover her hair. But if the whole makar is this pasuk, so then you have no makar to obligate an almana. If the makar of the pasuk is the parsha of Saita, that we see a site who comes to the base of English, she has to have her hair covered, she's a married woman, just like a single girl is not included. It could go either way, but what is the Torah Megala to us? The Torah only revealed to us that an Eishes Ish has to cover her hair, because it may be a single girl to cover her hair. But the Torah was not Megala that to us, the Torah was not Megala to us, the Torah was not Megala to us. There's a second Shaila, a very similar Shaila. That is the question of a penuya ba'ula, a single girl who was mizanin. Somebody was ma'anesar. She never got married. Is she obligated to cover her hair? What comes up in our Mishnah? What should be? In our Mishnah, Saraya, she has to cover her hair. Because our Mishnah says that if she went out to the chuppah with her hair uncovered, she gets what? Ksuba? She gets 200. That's what our Mishnah says. If they did say she went out to the chuppah with her hair uncovered, that's proof she gets 200. If you're going to say a penuya bu'ula does not have to cover her hair, so then who says that she's entitled to 200? Maybe she went Rosh HaPerua, and actually the truth is that she was a bu'ula, she's only entitled to 100. Zukta again, the Dagal Mervava brings a riot from here that a Nuya Bu'ula is required to cover a hair. Two from this that the Dagal Mervava learns from here. The din of an Amana and the din of a Pnuya Bu'ula, that both are obligated to cover their hair. Because we see from our Mishnah that anybody who gets $100 silver, their hair is covered. And again, from the Gemara and Dafayin days, it would seem to say that there's no obligation to cover the hair. Because the hair, the Gezeres HaKasid, is only by Eishes Ish. The Mishnah Berura, Siman Ayin Hay, brings down the shaila of a single girl who's a Bu'ula, and he brings that to Machlaikis, brings the Sagam of Abba, and he says, Yesh Chalkim, and therefore, Ein Meichin, if somebody wants to be Meku, we don't stop. Who are the Yesh Chalkim? So the Mishnah Berura says to look at the Magen Gibayim. Magen Gibayim is a Pirish on Shulchan Aruch HaChaim, and he says that you can learn our Mishnah differently in a way that will resolve the Shaila of the Raya of the Dagal Mervava. We learn our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is Megala to us the din that that a woman has got to has got to cover her hair. No. He learns our Mishnah that really a Pinuya Bu'ula does not have to cover her hair. But when she goes down to the chuppah, dafka then she has to cover her hair. The whole time she walks around, the Pinuya Bu'ula doesn't have to cover her hair. But Chazal set up a simon. There should be a simon at the wedding, whether she's a Psula or a Bu'ula. And that simon is covering hair. What they would do is they would take a penuya bu'ula, who the Magen Gibayim holds does not have to cover her hair. She's not an Eishes Ish. Why should she have to cover her hair? Our Mishnah. Yes, they would bedavka. Right when they went to the chuppah, if she was a bu'ula, they would cover her hair for the chuppah. It was a simon that Chazal instituted, bedavka, so that it be known, of course in a quiet way, to let it be known that she's a bu'ula. This is how the Magen Gibayim learns our Mishnah. Not Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah is like the Dagal Mervava. That she has to cover her hair or not is a separate halacha. It's halacha all the time. Memela, it has an impact on the chuppah. The Magen Gibayim says, no, that our Mishnah just, it's a simon. It's a simon that was given at the time of the wedding. That at the time of the wedding, the Nuya Bula would cover her hair. But not that this is the halacha for all the time she walked around. Turns out we have two ways of learning our Mishnah. The union of covering the hair, either like the Dagal Mervava, this is an indication of what the general obligation is, or like the Magen Gibayim. There's a third shaila. And that is, what is the din of an arusa? Does an arusa have to cover a hair? What's an arusa? That's a woman. If they're erusin before nisuin, today we don't have that. But if they're erusin before nisuin, does she have to cover her hair? From our Mishnah, Saraya. What's Saraya? From our Mishnah, Saraya, then an arusa does not cover her hair. Erusin was always before the Nisuin. So then, how can a woman ever go to a chuppah with her hair uncovered? If you hold an arusa, has to cover her hair. If you hold an arusa, has to cover her hair. Then, what business does she have ever going to the chuppah? Nowadays, we walk down the aisle before the Nisuin and the Erusin. We do the Erusin under the chuppah, but we know the custom in the time of the Mishnayos was that they did Erusin earlier. And then the Arusa was walking down to the chuppah. So how could her hair be perlak? If you hold an Arusa has to cover her hair, how could she ever go to the chuppah, Rosh HaPeruah? Hold on 1 second. Tell Amai, it's a raya that an Arusa does not cover her hair. That's where from our Mishnah, raya that the first two cases are raya that you have to, and I'm on a bruma. Now, here it's a raya lekula, the other way. Since our Mishnah said that a person going to their first marriage has her hair uncovered when she goes to the chuppah, she's an arusa. It's a raya that an arusa does not have to uncover her hair. In fact, it's a machlekes. The Chavis Yair and the Shvus Yaakov, it's a machlekes achrayim. The Chavis Yair says that Arusa is obligated to cover her hair. And the Shvus Yaakov brings a raya against him from our mission. Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger answers the Shita to Chavis Yair. The Chavis Yair says that Arusa has to cover her hair. And a Shvus Yaakov says not. Rabbi Kiva Eger answers that very identical, really, to the Magen Kibayrus. Because really, an Arusa has to cover her hair. But they had a simon. It was a simon that they did at the wedding. That if she was only an Arusa, she went to the wedding, she would uncover her hair. It was a system of simon at the wedding. You want to know that she's a psula, so at the wedding, even though she's an Arusa, normally she has to cover her hair. But going down to the chuppah, she would uncover her hair. The doctor. 1 second. Just look in Rashi. Rashi is a strong raya to Rashi, Rosh HaPeruah. Rosh HaPeruah, it's Tabdulida. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. And obviously, you need to hear the covers. I don't know why Rashi needs a French word to tell you what it means to uncover the hair. Maybe it just means because Rosh HaPeruah sounds like her head. Rashi will say it means her hair is uncovered. Sahara Akisaytaha. What does that mean? What does the word mean? Sahara Akisaytaha. A hair comes down to our shoulders. What does it say? A hair comes to our shoulders.
Normally
it's not no ponytail. That's what it means.
Normally the hair is put together so it's like it's under the covering, but the hair is like let out.
The funny way of saying it, you know, if I had to ask you to say her hair is uncovered, say her hair is on her shoulders. And wait, what's the next part of it? Kacha, you know you're getting the heightiest of psulas and vesadiyam and vesachat. This is the way that a mimic takes the besulais out of their father's house to the chasna hall. As she says, let's say kacha yunayigin to walk around all the time. As she says, kacha yunayigin, I see a besulais, they say, I'm a besachat. That's like Rabbi Kiva Eger. That really, she would cover her hair. She's a rusa. But kacha yunayigin, I see a besulais, they say, I'm a besachat. Dafka then, they would uncover. That was Rashi Nashi. Going from the house to the base of chasna, that's going to the chuppah. That's really going to the chuppah. And it could be sarak seifeha, meaning that her hair was covered, but it's stuck down. They let it protrude underneath as a simon that she's a psula. So the Kiva Eger is learning like the Magen Gibayrin, while the Dogo Rebava will be like the Shvus Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov brought a raya from our Mishnah the other way. Comes out, each way of learning has a chumra and a kula. If you hold our Mishnah is a sinin, then you could hold that an arusa normally a chumra, an arusa normally covers a hair. And a kula, that an almana or a penuya bula does not cover a hair. If you learn like the Dogo Merbaba, that our Mishnah is dafka, then you have a chumra that an almana and a penuya bula have to cover the hair. And you have a kula that an arusa does not. two ways of learning the Mishnah, Tli and Zeb is there. These two minyanim, Al-Khaira, Tali, Zeb is there. How are you going to learn the Mishnah, the Seder of the Mishnah, how if it's Davka, it's the way they always did it, or if it was only the way that they did it for special for a kashrut. Based on our discussion, what should be at a wedding after the chuppah during the suda of the wedding? Should a woman have to cover her hair or not? She's now a nesua. She's in a rusa and a nesua. Should she have to cover her hair or not? If it depends. It depends on being a bu'ula, she's not a bu'ula. If it depends on being a nesua, she's not only an arusa. If you hold an arusa, that's a kavah, she certainly has a kavah. She's a nesua. If you hold a nesua, then...
She's not going down to the chuppah anymore either.
She's not going to the chuppah, no reason to make a sin. It would seem, let's see, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, she certainly going to have to cover her hair. She's a nesua, and who's a bin nesua, she should have to cover her hair. Shah is only according to the Dogma Merbaba. Following? According to the Dogma Merbaba, what do you say? You have no raya either way. According to the Dogma Merbaba, our Mishnah is talking about the way women always go. In the nesua, there'd be no raya from the Mishnah one way or the other. No? Is it totally being a bu'ula, in which case she could uncover? Or not? How are the women naive? No. Yes, we yes, they're different in hagi. Even I can cover before the chuppah. I know Rabbi Yaakov was marked that they should cover after the chuppah. But I don't think that's the minhag of most of the island. Like Sardim, they don't have the yichud room until after the suda. She's still in Arusa, she's not in the Sua. Friday passing at the Rambam, and you could arrive at the year. They don't hold up the Rav Naftali we had at the beginning of the year that she's in the Sua anyway. And so they tried him on the that they do the Yichud room after benching. Our minig enters in some into a Shaira, a double Pashuk, which made it. It's a matter of a practical thing. You have to prepare for it by covering. I don't know. Maybe Rabbi Yaakov was not on the right to chuppah too. I don't remember hearing. Rabbi Yaakov was out of the Torah, that's when I came. I'm not that old. Rabbi Yaakov left in 67. So, saying what I heard. Lamaisa, we have a kasha on the Dogma Revava from the Gemara on Ayin Beis. Ayin Beis seems to learn Napoleon being an Eishes Ish. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in the first Chelek of Emunah Ezer, Simen Nun Zayin. And Rav Moshe says that in Achinami, in Atayra, only an Eishes Ish has to cover on here. Aye, the Dabba Mervava proves from here that an Almana also has to cover on here, and a Pnuya Ba'ula also has to cover on here. So Rav Moshe, that's part of Das Yehudis. It says there in the Gemara that there are two Gedarim covering Yehir. There's one is the Din Torah, the Torahic obligation to cover Yehir, which is Tak only in Eishes Ish. And then there's the Das Yehudis obligation. The Minig B'nai Yisrael, and the obligation of Amana to cover Yehir, that's part of Das Yehudis. That's not part of the Din Torah. The Raisatik obligation. The obligation of Das Yehudis. And the Mela, the Moshe Pasuk is like the Dogma Ravada. And Amana has to cover here. He doesn't go into the Truva, into the Shiloh of a Ula Penuya. The Bukhari should be telling the same thing. And he says, he talks about the Dogma Ravada. And he says that that Gemara is talking about the Deraisa. Not a Deraisa.
It's talking about the
Mahadev,
right?
The Dogma Ravada, I don't think he spells that out. It's Deraisa. The Moshe is explaining the Dogma Ravada. The Dogma Ravava doesn't go into it, he's just saying Lahamaka that they have to cover the hair. The source of it is that he doesn't go into it. So Akopana, we have here two Mahalchim in the covering of the hair, you should know that although, I think it's a chiddush to everybody here, there is a shita which holds that single girls should have a ksas kisei harazaya. The Magen Avraham being spring such a minhag. You see sometimes that ksidim, especially in Yerushalayim families, Yerushalmi families, the girls braid their hair. Their hair is always braided. It's not just a cultural thing, it's a Magen Avraham brings such a minhag that even a single girl should have her hair palua, her hair should be at least partially covered. And I guess it's not as serious as our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about totally covered. She mentioned to you also that the halacha is that the hair has to be totally covered. A married woman is obligated to cover her hair totally. And the thing that a lot of married women wear their kichel halfway up their head is shalaika din, shalaika halacha. The halacha is that a man is not permitted to make a bracha facing an erva. Even his wife's erva, he's allowed to, she's a tar, he's allowed to look at her, but it's also to make a bracha facing an erva, facing uncovered hair. I have a lot of situations with families that are more modern, and the husband becomes more front, and the wife doesn't cover her hair or doesn't cover it properly. So one of the things that the husband has to do is to be careful when he makes a kiddush. He should not be facing his wife. I have to do it discreetly. It seems nearest on Shabbos, not to, it seems nearest to have psukim, and not to say the Shem Hashem, even if you're singing young. Say Shem Hashem. If you have a woman whose hair is uncovered at the table and you're facing her, so it would be also to say the Shem Hashem, or to say Pesukim, say a bracha. In that situation, you have to, if you can't convince them to cover their hair, so you have to at least turn to the side when you make a bracha, or shut the tak, it's enough to just close your eyes because you're facing the person. But that's a halacha that's not well known. So Moshe has a tshuva that if the width of two finger widths is uncovered, since tefach the isha erva is a tefach, and the forehead is two tefachim across, so one square tefach would be two etzbayis up and two tefachim across. So then if it's uncovered a small amount that's less than two etzbayis, that there's no issur to make a bracha facing that. So she's still really obligated to cover it, but doesn't have a din of erva, and that a person could make a bracha. There. From there comes the toes that they have, the shekel machas, to let some of the natural hair stick out. It's not a heter, it's just a heter to make a bracha to let it stick out. But, so Ramesh has a tshuva about learning on the train. There are women who have the train, not only have a problem with the hair, it's a problem with other parts of the body too. One of the nice things about a cold winter is that you walk in the street, you can know to say the great Tarek, make a bracha. Normally, now I used to I had the for a number of years to be Shabbos in the east side. I used to go to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe went to be Mekadosh Lavana. It was a very funny thing because you had to walk outside of his apartment. It was a yard, and everybody, he would of course go first. Everyone would follow him. Then he would turn around to take Kiddush Lavana. So I declared, why is he turning around? So I realized when he turned around, he's facing Mizrah. From that I understand the Chiddush that Kiddush Lavana should face Mizrah. Right. So I was naive for many years to face Mizrah. Then I got to the sugya of facing Mizrah, and I realized that it's not a halacha, it's only a Shemini Esrei. Many shuls, people down in the tables face this way or that way. It's only a Shemini Esrei. So I had someone go to Rav Dovid Feinstein and ask him why Rav Moshe was not fit to face Mizrah. He said, Ramesha wasn't marked as a Mizrah. Ramesha was marked, he said, when he davened in MTJ, when I was there, he was davening in the town, so he couldn't walk so far to the yeshiva. When he davened in first Yerushalayim, he would go out and face the building, which was not Mizrah. But being that there are women walking around outside, you know, say a bracha facing Erava, he was marked to turn to the building when he said the bracha. Nonetheless, that you can't pass an halacha from seeing the story, you know, from seeing a Mizrah.
I thought he was facing Mizrah. He wasn't facing Mizrah. And he was facing Mizrah. But it wasn't because he wanted to face Mizrah, because he didn't want to make a bracha opposite an erva. That's the bracha of Atzalot. What? And they said everything facing that way. That's Sukkim. Sukkim also not supposed to say facing
that way.
There wasn't a problem. Moshe was short and there were so many people standing around him. But, right?
Turning around, is that enough?
Turning away is definitely enough. Of if you're facing the erva, closing your eyes, that's a shiloh. So Moshe has a shiloh about davening on the train or learning on the train. He says the bakul on the train is a shesachak. For the child on the train every day, not be able to learn. He says you can be stomach on the sheet, is that it's enough to either close your eyes or to look away, even if you're not misalik with sudden. Because you can learn to learn there as old as your. But at any rate, this is the din of Se'er Magula B'Isha Erev, and again, it's in Torah. One of the reasons that women are makel in a lot of things I'm covering here or attend in these things sometimes to be makel, I'll tell you the reason. Well, I'm not an expert in women's chinuch, this I know. The reason is because when they're in school, they have well-intentioned teachers or rebbetzins who tell them chumris and tell them it's nikra din. They tell them dinim and ochasniyas, and they tell them it's nikra din, it's nikra halacha. And later they find out that something they said are not true, it's just the chumris. And therefore they assume that everything is just the chumris. Everything they're told is just the chumris. The Mela, they don't know what's halach and what's a chumrah. You would think the girls should know. The boys are supposed to know how long the dress is supposed to be. The girls should know. But the reason the girls don't know is because they're very firm people. They hang up signs that say, well, a couple of years ago there was a sign in Flatbush, they're wearing a ponytail shape, but it was often the Ikar Adin. They were shown the Zalman Arbat signature and Rafam signature among about 20 others. Of course, it's a shtus. Rafam never agreed to such a thing. But a very firm woman hung up these signs. And she thinks she's going to Gehen Eden because she hung up the sign. But you know, but it's just the opposite. When you hang up the sign, got a ponytail shekels usher. So Shlomo Zalman, it seems, hung up in Yerushalayim. Many Yerushalayim, you shouldn't wear a ponytail shekels. So she hung up signs in Brooklyn. It happens to be, she called me because she wanted me to translate it to English. She doesn't know English. She's a, I said, how can I translate to English? Her mom didn't sign such a thing. So she said, please do me a favor, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. You know, because she's going to pick an Eden because of it. You know, his mom is just the opposite. And you hang up signs that the chumr is, then the girls see that the chumr is not true. Doesn't say anywhere in Ksuvah, you know, we have ponytail shaving. So the Mela, they assume that everything else is also chumr. If you learn the Gemara, you know that covering here is the Chiyuv Deraisa. Okay, at any rate, let's get back to the Lamedim now of our Mishnah. So this is the halacha from our Mishnah, the din of uncovering here, which is, it's not a Mishnah anywhere else. It's here in the Tafayim Beis. That's the Sugya. Okay, now let's get to the Lamedim. Okay, again, let's get back to our Nidai. The Nidai is Yatza Dihinuma. Okay, so now they're having a fight. It's a divorce, and the woman says, I want a $200 silver. And the husband says, I'm only giving you $100. I'm giving you $100, she says, I want $200. So why don't they take out the silver and look at it? Why don't they look at the silver? So it's talking, all the Rishonim say, like the first words of Tysus, the line that keeps the silver. They don't have the silver. Why doesn't she have the silver? There are two reasons a woman cannot have a ksuba. The Gemara will say on this end of the day. Either she lost the ksuba, or the Gemara says there were places where there was a need not to write a ksuba. A ksuba is an understood obligation. It's understood by itself that a husband's obligated, and whether he writes a ksuba or not, the obligation stands. So either it's a place where they write ksubas and she lost it, or it's a place where the minig is not to write a ksuba, one or the other. Obviously, it is a ksuba, you go according to the ksuba, that's a dumb question. So here, it's a picture. They're getting into an argument. And she says 200. And he says 100. So What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that he wins. If there are no witnesses, he wins. Why? Why does he win? And here she's not even holding a ksuba. That we should, we had a clear in the previous parak of someone holding ksuba is a mufzik. She's not even holding a ksuba. So certainly he's the mufzik. If she would like to get to 100, she has got to go and bring witnesses that say yasa b'inuma. If she brings witnesses she yasa b'inuma v'raisha perua, then she gets 200. So the first Taisvis deals with this. Taisvis says, the Bulai Nikita Ksuba Ayri, the Ika Ksuba, Nefzi Ksubasa, and he Besula Yaman. Now, Philemon, the Amar Atayin Achameh, the Bez, and Vama Prati Neman, the Komachim, Ein Neman, Lai Mekan. Even if you say that, he would say, Parati, he'd be believed. That's what it means, Atayin Achameh, the Bez, and Vama Prati Neman. If he would say, 200, but I paid, he'd be believed. The Komachim, Ein Neman, Lai Mekan, Alman, and the Sasich, Amigu, the Bayama Parati. Why does he have a Migu? The teretz is migu b'makim edim hu. It's a migu that contradicts witnesses. The migu against edim. Now this taisvis is an important taisvis because we have to understand what does he say. What does he say? What's his taina? How did you learn the mishnah? What's he say? Imagine we're an aman. Edim come and say yasa b'inuma. Why, how does he answer that? What does he say? He's saying, anybody? What does he claim? What? He's saying, I only want to give you 100. I witness to say, you have to be in the world. That's not the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the Farish that who I am, like you, I'm one of the right, he's saying, Amman and Sasich. I married you as an Amman. He's not saying you paid for it. He's saying, Amman and Sasich. I witness to say, you have to be Numa. So what? You have two choices. Either he's saying, huh? Come on, get two ways to learn. You can figure out one. Huh? He's not saying I paid. He's saying I'm under the sasicha. He's not saying I paid. Taisus is saying you should believe that amigo I paid. Well, what's his taina? He has a taina. He's saying a taina with amigo for us. He says she's an amana. Aye, she went out Rasha Perua. What? Either. There are two ways to explain the Mishnah. Either he says they the malayas. Edom are saying she went out Rosh Peru, that's not true. Or he's saying, Edom are telling the truth. She went out Rosh Peru, but it was baloney. She was really a bula. She was really an almana. But she had the CHR to go with her hair uncovered, so she went. She had the CHR to go with the veil, she went with the veil. That's why it's one of the Mishnah, no? You understand what I'm saying? What's he timing? Edom come and say, Yatsav Inuma Varesha Perua. You can learn the Mishnah either that he's contradicting the Edom. He says the Edom are full of baloney. She didn't go Varesha Perua. Or he could say, they're telling the truth. She went out the Inuma Varesha Perua. But Afal PK, she was an Amana. And then he's not contradicting the Edom. How did Taisus learn? Which pshat? Taisa says he should be believed to say what? Amana nisasicha. Migu dibayama parati. Believe him with amigu. That Taisa says, no, it's amigu against Taisa. How do you learn Taisa? So you could learn Taisa that he's saying that Adam are lying. It's not amigu against Adam. It's amigu against Adam. He says to Edom are lying, he wants to believe with amigo. What's stronger, amigo or Edom? Edom is stronger than anything. So the simple way to learn Taisvis is migu b'makim Edom. It's amigo against contradicting the witnesses. And the Mela,
Memela, he doesn't have a needle. That would be the simple way to untie. Yeah. The Ran asks the same kasha taisis. The Ran asks, why doesn't he have a nigel of parati? Believe him to say Aman in the Sasicha, and believe him with a nigel of parati. And the Ran says a different heresy. The Ran says, our Mishnah is talking, where there is no nigel of parati, because it's talking in a case where it's right at the time of the giving of the get. He can't say parati at the giving of the get, because nobody pays beforehand. Nobody pays the tzuvah before giving the get. So it's talking right away, b'shas, b'sinas, I get. This is talking b'shas, b'sinas, I get. He has no migo of parati. What about the case of Nisalmana and Almana? The text says, shahabal hayda kaida misasa shalai para. That right away, right before Misa, he admitted Shalai Parah. Whether I said something else, the third thing. But basically, he says other terutzim. He says that we're talking where there is no Migul. Why does the Ran say the same Taisus, same Teres as Taisus? Why does he say the same exact Teres as the Migul of Makanadim? Why does he answer the Migul of Makanadim? Everybody holds the legal doesn't work against the witnesses. Why does he say St. Paris?
We think we have an amendment to start to saying that she can request part of the Shiva before at any time she wants.
It's also connected to Shiva. Yeah, a man is not allowed to prepay the Shiva. If he prepays the Shiva, he gets a Nuchiyah Shiva. Because Chazal wanted that she be Kasha Bain of Lysia. Giving a get should be expensive. And if he prepays it, now giving a get is easy.
Why
she could tell still the husband because the get will have to pay, she'll have to pay someone else. So why doesn't the Ran answer that the Migul B'Makom Eidim like Taisus? I'm setting up a terrace. Think on your own. Huh? Everyone holds you can't say a Migul to contradict the Eidim. The easiest way to say is that the Ran learned the Mishnah a different case. The Ran learned the Mishnah that the husband is not contradicting the witnesses. The husband is saying the witnesses are telling the truth. In Ochinami, she was Yasavi Inuma. She was Taki Yasavi Inuma Rasha Perua. The witnesses are telling the truth. The Afal PK, she was a Bula. She was a Bula anyway. If they're not contradicting the witnesses, you should have a migul. It's not a migul against David. Dr. Ran, there are other reasons it's not a migul. Other reasons it's not a migul. He was made right before he died that he didn't pay. What? Witnesses, there are two witnesses.
Who decides that she should go to the chasna be numa?
Who decides that her chasna, who decides?
How good? Not your trust.
Aiden C. Okay, that's the way the Ran is learning. The Bach in his Agos on the Ran says this is the way the Ran learns. That Ran learns, you're not contradicting the witnesses. You're agreeing with the witnesses. You're saying, like you say, who decided? She decided she wants to go Rasha Perua. So she went, she was an Amman, she went Rasha Perua anyway. So wait, what? So Afa Pikein, the simon is a good simon. The Ran holds, it's not a good simon. One second. Well, we've learned now, Taisus and the Ran is the way I would have learned. Pashup Shat. There's no machloikis Taisus and the Ran. No dispute. Taisus says, Mikam Makam Eidim. He learns the Mishnah talking that the husband is contradicting the Eidim. The Ran learns the husband is not contradicting the Eidim. And since the husband is not contradicting the Eidim, it's not a legal b'makom eidim, and therefore, Shalom al Yisrael, we have good pshat in the Mishnah, good pshat in Taisus, good pshat in the Ran, we're ready to go back. For one minute. There's one additional chesed. The Shach, which is quoted by the Haflah here, brings a concept
of Nigul B'Makim Eden, which has a totally different meaning. That is Nigul against Minig HaMedina. When you have a Minig that contradicts, a Migul that contradicts Minig HaMedina, the Minig in this country, the Minig in this Medina is, says that if you want to use a Migul to contradict Minig HaMedina, you're not believed. That's also a type of Migul B'Makim Eden. It's not a Migul that contradicts witnesses, but it is a Migul that contradicts an Anansadi. An Anansadi is an Umdana, an assumption. The Shach and Hafla learn our Taisis different than what I learned Taisis. I learned Taisis that what's the husband saying that the Eidim are liars. That's a Migul B'Makim Eden. You learn Taisis that way, it's very Gishmak. The Shach and Hafla learn Taisis. No, the husband is saying, the Eidim are telling the truth. She went out by Hinduma Varesha Perua. But she was an Almana anyway. She was an Almana anyway, and she went to the Chuppah Raisha Perua. And Zuck Taisis, even then, that's a Migul B'Makim Eidim. Because it's a Migul that contradicts an Anansadi. It contradicts the Anansadi, who the Anansadi is that a woman goes to the chuppah kedin. A woman goes to the chuppah the way she's supposed to go. She's a previously married woman, she goes with hair covered. And she's not previously married, she goes with hair uncovered. So now, this is a bigger chiddush in Taisis. Till now, the way we learned first, Shadon Taisis, Migul B'Makim Eidim, it's a Migul that contradicts witnesses. The way we're learning now, Migul B'Makim Eidim of Taisis is a very big chiddush. That you can't use a Migul to contradict Minig HaMedina. You can't go against what the Minig HaMedina is. The Minig HaMedina, it says, if Raisha Perua, and she's wearing a veil, that she's a Besula, and you're trying to say that I believe the witnesses. True, she was yet to be in the Raisha Perua. But Abba became, she was a Be'ula, that the Migul against Minig HaMedina, and the chiddush of the Shach is that the Migul B'Makim Eidim, and that does not work. And that's Shadon Taisis. The Ran disagrees with that. Because the Ran clearly told that you would have a Migul. The Ran says it's a good Migul, just Amish is talking that he was Maida before he died, that he didn't pay the Ksuba. He was Maida, that nothing was paid. So if he was Maida or was Bishav Get, by Tais, if it's possible to tie the Parati, the Migul would work according to the Ran. If it's a month after the Get, according to the Ran, it would seem that it would work. That means if he has a Migul, it works against Minig HaMedina. Comes out, the Hafla learns that Taisis and the Ran are arguing. That the Machlokes Taisis and the Ran. That they argue, are they that sign our Mishnah, that he's Maida to the Eid? She was yet to be no Rasha Perua. And even though he's Maida to the Eid, I thought he came to Migul B'Makim Eidim because he's trying to say something to contradict Minig HaMedina. And a Migul against an Anansadi is not a good Migul. So what turns out is we have two ways to learn Taisis. First way we learn is that Taisis and the Ran do not argue. No Machlokes between the two different cases. Now Flaw says that's not the right way to learn. Because we have a Shach. The Shach tells us this chiddush. The Migul against Minig HaMedina is also Migul B'Makim Eidim. That's Shach and Taisis. That's the Migul B'Makim Eidim. That's what Taisis is saying. That's the Migul that contradicts the Eidim. Which Eidim? And Ansadi. That she would not be known for Raisha Perua. That's the way she is. So we have now a Machlokes Taisis in the land. Back to Hafla. 1 minute. What happens if there are no witnesses? What do we say? Who wins? There are no witnesses. He wins. There are no witnesses. He wins. What is he saying? He's saying Almana Nisasicha. The Mishnah says he wins unless she could bring witnesses. She has to be in the room. Now, Flora asks Akasha, what happens
if there are no witnesses. And the husband says she was Yotze Bihinuma, the Rosh HaPerua, and Afa Piken, she was an Almana. No witnesses. And the husband says, what should be the din? What? The Pesha Asr. He has a Pesha Asr. He could have said she wasn't Rosh HaPerua. Right? He could have declined it. What would be the din in such a case? Okay, he comes into Bez and he says she was an Almana when I married her. She went out Bihinuma, the Rosh HaPerua, but Afa Piken, she was a Perua. From our Mishnah, it's Marsha, she would win. Because it says she loses unless she brings witnesses. But she has to bring witnesses. It's enough if he admits it. From our Mishnah, it's Marsha, that he'll win. Why will he win? Only because he has an eagle. Only because he has an eagle. 1 minute, what's going on here? He's saying, believe me that she was an Almana. Even though she went Rosh HaPerua, at an eagle, I could have said she didn't go Rosh HaPerua. Isn't that an eagle? The Mokayim and an Ansadi. We just said Taisus Hall. That you can't use an eagle against Minig HaMedina. Taisus is learning that you can't use an eagle to go against Minig HaMedina. You can't use an eagle to say that she went out Rosh HaPerua, but she was an Almana anyway. We learn Taisus, it fits very well into Taisus. But you get back to our Mishnah, when there are no witnesses, why is he believed? Our Mishnah's Mashmi, he'd be believed to say, Rosh HaPerua, you have to be a Numa, but she was an Almana anyway. That's also a Migo against the Gamadina. Okay, but first, everyone follow the kasha. This is the kasha that our boy has. That if we're going to learn pshat and taisus, like the shah, that amigu against Minig HaMedina does not work, so why does it work when there are no witnesses? Why then is he believed? Amigu against Minig HaMedina. Now, Flora says a Teretz, but I think that the Nekuda that we have to understand for the Teretz, it may be the Svara Tafla too. The rule which we're going to discuss in this Teretz a number of times, that a Migu, the Bai Shasik, is always a stronger Migu than a Migu, say, a different time. I mentioned this to you once before. What's a Migu? If I'm a lawyer, I would have said something else. So, to have a migul, I could have said parati, that's a migul. That's a normal migul. Not everyone would think of the kind of parati. Migul divay shasik, though, is a much easier thing to do. Just keep your mouth shut. Say nothing is easier. This husband didn't have to say that she went out bihinuma v'raisha parua. He could have just said she was an almana. How'd she go out? I don't remember. He has a migul divay shasik. He could have not admitted that she went out to Hinuma to Rosh HaPerua. It may be that a migul divay shasik that's stronger than stam amigul. So a migul divay shasik would work against Minig HaMedina. The Shach and Afla were only saying that a migul parati doesn't work against a Minig HaMedina. But a migul divay shasik that's stronger. Migul divay shasik maybe does work. This is the Nakuda of the Chiddush of our Mishnah. It's Hashem, tomorrow we'll get to the mighty Rabbi Yeshua. I should tell you, you must learn the Gemara that's Ayinam and Aleph. It's just one long sentence, almost all the way down. You must learn the Gemara there just to appreciate Rabbi Yeshua.